You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. Each week, the JX looks around Southern Oregon and Northern California to learn about one city or town in our listening region. Today, we're talking with Jesse Dugas. He's the mayor of Cave Junction, Oregon. Welcome to the Exchange, Mayor Dugas.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Let's begin with geography. Where is Cave Junction?
Cave Junction is the gateway of the Oregon Caves. It is the southwest corner of the state between Grants Pass and Brookings.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about it. Give me a land size, population, demographics.
A little over 2,000 within the city limits, surrounded with a bunch of other smaller towns that all make up the Illinois Valley, including Selma, Kirby, O'Brien, Tacoma, and just beautiful Southern Oregon landscape. We're very friendly, very neighbor-like. Got a beautiful park. Downtown is in the process of being revitalized. Park is going through upgrades. But it's just that classic small town that we're trying to modernize.
So why do people come to Cave Junction? What attracts them?
The Oregon Caves is our primary draw here. We are the home of the Oregon Caves National, landmark. And that's that, and being that midpoint between the coast and the rest of Oregon. So we get a tremendous amount of traffic on 199 through Cave Junction.
So tell me about the Oregon Caves.
Sure. Oregon Caves, beautiful, beautiful venture place if you haven't been there. They do tours. You can get tickets right in town at the visitor center. Just a great, great draw. They have a restaurant there. The chateau is currently closed. They have a beautiful chateau that is going to be hopefully remodeled in the near future. And there's hiking trails and nature and animals, and it's a great family draw. And they are also dark sky certified, which means that it's guaranteed to be dark up there, meaning that you can see the stars pretty much any day of the year that you go out to the Oregon Caves.
So if I were bringing my family out there to visit the Oregon Caves and spend some time, and you were a tour guide, where would you take me outside of the Oregon Caves?
Outside of the Oregon Caves, I take you to the Fork State Park. Illinois River runs right through it. I would take you to our local park. We've got a baseball field there. We've got a splash pad. We've got a stage that's in the middle of it. We have pickleball and tennis courts. We have a brand new playground. And then we have a very, very good food scene here. We have several food trucks that are parked daily that are incredible, as well as brick and mortar shops here. We've got several different restaurants, all serving a different flavor of food, and all very, very good.
Well, I hear there's a cat zoo somewhere in your region.
There is. There's the Wildcats Park right outside of the city limits, heading south towards the coast. You drive right by it if you're headed on 199 towards Crescent City or Brookings.
So if I went to that zoo, what would I see?
You would see wildcats, tigers, cougars, different types of exotic animals. I'm not sure if they're open for the season yet. I know that they will be opening soon, but they have a lot of acreage and a lot of exotic animals.
And you've got a pretty large lake nearby, right?
We do. We've got Lake Selmac in Selma, which is it's about 10 miles to the north of us here. It's a man-made lake, beautiful campground. They've got yurts. They've got mini golf there. They've got a store. And then what Lake Selmac is most known for is their bass fishing. There are state record-sized bass in the lake here, Lake Selmac.
There are wineries in your region?
There's a couple of them. Yeah, they are, and it's both of them are good. We got Augustino's, which is very good. We have Bridgeview, which is very good. A couple local wineries right here in the valley. There are a couple others as well that are a little bit smaller. But those are the two biggest ones, Augustino and Bridgeview, and they're right outside of city limits as well.
I remember driving through there a while back with my family, headed to the coast, and we passed an airport. An airport?
Yep. Yeah, it's Cave Junction has an airport. It's it has a smoke jumpers museum as well as a base there. Unfortunately, for the last several years, It has been utilized as a fire camp from the wildfires that we've had out here. But it is a very small airport. It's very clean and gets the job done. And the county, as well as local government up here in the city, which it is outside of city limits, but we are involved because we know that it is a draw here. We'd like to see it continue to progress moving forward. Getting some stuff done, including a new fuel tank, tanker. But it's, and then we also have Captain Drake's school out there. He's got a flight school and also is one of the only certified people to inspect small planes in the region. And so it's that's another draw that we have out here, yes.
Well, speaking of that, you guys had a pretty big fire out there a couple of decades ago. I think it was called the Biscuit Fire.
Yeah, that was 2000, 2001. Yeah, that was Selma, $8 area. So that was north of Cave Junction by about 10 miles, but very, very big county office area. But yes, very, very big fire. That's out $8 in Selma, Onion Mountain. A lot of people go out there and go hiking, mushroom hunting, and you can still see the fire scars to this day.
How did that affect the region, and how is it recovering?
Recovery is natural because it's protected, but we've had equally as devastating fires more recently than the Biscuit Fire. The Biscuit Fire was in Selma, and $8, which is a little bit away from the city of Cave Junction, but we've had some closer fires within the last couple of years. And fires affect everything here from economic growth and development. You know, it's that we need money to come in to be able to move going forward. And when you can't breathe because it's smoky and you're surrounded by wildfire, that kind of limits that. And then obviously with the fire right here, it makes insurance a difficult thing. But it's overall, fires are what scare me the most about where we live, especially with the lack of snowpack and rainfall that we've had this winter.
So you guys are prepared, I imagine. What's your expectation this year?
Expectation is that we're going to potentially have some fires. Unfortunately, it's we're as prepared as we can be. You know, it's that's more the fire department, obviously, and forestry department, more of a federal end on there. But it's as far as readiness and emergency management, I feel like we've got a good step on that here. We have SOPs and situations in place if there were to be a fire on where to evacuate and how to evacuate. You know, we've got one road in and one road out. And so it's difficult when you're dealing with the amount of people that we have in the valley here if we have to go on no notice or short notice. So we're always hyper-prepared when it comes to fire readiness out here in the valley.
My guest is Jesse Dugas. He's the mayor of Cave Junction, Oregon. One of the things that I noticed when I came through Cave Junction was that there seemed to be a high concentration of creative artists. We went to the Burles Gallery, and there's a art gallery featuring local artists. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so it's that's in Kirby. It's 2 miles to the north of the city of Cave Junction, and we have a lot of local, incredibly talented artists. Ash Whistler is the one that did the murals in town, as well as our power boxes through town to really liven it up. Very, very creative minded people here in the valley. It's lots of entrepreneurs, lots of artists, different types of arts, from the art that you're describing, whether it be, you know, burls, or whether it be murals and painting, or whether it be musical arts. There's a tremendous amount of people that are involved in different arts here. We also have a very large farmers market for being such a small community that's located right across from it's a borough, which is the location you were just describing, every Friday, and it is packed. I don't have numbers on what they do, but I know that I attend regularly and drive by regularly, and it's packed, and hundreds of vendors and thousands of people every single Friday throughout the spring and summer. So it's a nice draw for us out here as well.
I know a place that we went to that was packed when we got there. Someone recommended that we stop and get some meat, and we did.
Taylor's.
Yes.
Yeah. Taylor's is world renowned. They have several different cured and smoked meats, and they've got a new restaurant here in town and obviously a meat plant. But they do something called Trail Busters, which is a very unique take on a sticky jerky. And they have everything. And when I say they're world-renowned, I mean it. They ship meat all over the planet. It's you can visit their website, but it's very, very gifted to have them here in our community.
And that's Taylor's Sausage?
It is, yes.
So how long have you been mayor?
I've been mayor for about a year and a half. And so a mayor here is every 2 years. So it's I was on the last cycle, and I'll be running again here in November. But I'm about a year and a half into my term.
Okay, and how many are on your city council?
So including myself, because the mayor gets a voting spot here, we have five. So four council positions and then one mayor seat.
And why did you decide to get into local politics?
Well, I mean, politics is a strange word. I by no means think that I'm a politician. I'm a small business owner. I coach high school baseball. I'm a parent of four. My oldest son is 25. My youngest is my only daughter, and she's six. And I've got an 18-year-old son and an 8-year-old son, and really making sure that we had a place to call home that we can be proud of, and then supporting our youth. I've volunteered here for the last 18 years in different capacities and got pushed to run because I was so heavily involved for city council, and I did, and spent a couple terms as a city council member, and then got asked to run for mayor and by several different people locally in the community, and decided it was the right move. It's a non-paid position, and that's how you know that people tend to do it for the right reasons, because there's no payment to be the mayor or a council member here in the city of Cape Junction.
Now, you mentioned you're a small business owner. Tell me about it.
I own a website design social media marketing company. We handle national brands from anything, pharmaceutical to law to medical to small mom and pops. My smallest client is a grandma that literally does some knitting. We handle her website and things like that. My largest is a pharmaceutical supplement company that does millions of dollars in gross sales a month. And so we handle everything, website, social media marketing, digital marketing for those.
Well, Cape Junction sounds like a wonderful kind of out-of-the-way place. Well, not out-of-the-way. It's on the way between Grants Pass and the coast. And it's the gateway to the Oregon Caves, as you said. But it's in a rural region, a beautiful region. Why did you move to Cape Junction?
My parents did. And so we moved here when I was 12 to Selma. I graduated from Illinois Valley before leaving to go to school and then decided to come back. It's home. I love it. I love the people here. I love the atmosphere here. I love our region. You know, it does get scary a little bit during the summer when we're dry. But other than that, it's a perfect place to live and call home. People care about one another. And it's just, for me, it's home.
Have you ever had to evacuate because of fire?
I did. I had to evacuate a couple years ago. And then the Biscuit Fire that we were speaking about earlier, I lived in Selma at the time. So I had to evacuate from that one as well.
So what are some of your biggest challenges you're facing today?
As a mayor, some of the biggest challenges we have is getting a hotel back in place here. So we currently don't have a hotel within our city. We just bid on one in foreclosure and got it. And so we have to wait until August for that to be finalized. There's a 6-month kind of grace period there. And then figuring out what to do with that to make sure that we get some adequate lodging here in our community is very important. So that's the largest challenge that we're currently dealing with out here.
Well, what kind of tourist numbers are you getting?
And, tourist numbers are down right now with the cost of fuel. People don't seem to be traveling as much this spring. But the caves seem to be doing okay. I don't have the raw ODOT numbers. I've asked them for a report. I'm sure I'll have it within a couple weeks on what type of traffic and uptake and downtake we're getting right here. But I don't have that data in front of me to give you an accurate number, besides the fact that we know that they are down currently.
Gotcha. Well, we're going to have to leave it there. I really appreciate you making the time to visit with us today.
Not a problem. Anytime. You guys have a great day. Thank you.